Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, so much more importantly, our second installment of our series with Dr. Carol Ann Peterson. She is an educator, and she's an author. She's an expert on domestic and intimate partner abuse. In fact, her book that we're talking about quite a bit here is called Interpersonal Aggression, The Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partner Abuse. Dr. Peterson, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, I got into it last time we spoke a little bit, but I appreciate the title of the book because I think sometimes domestic abuse almost just speaks about men and women and the abuses that go on there, which is, you know, of course, terrible. But I think you cover a lot more ground when you say intimate partner abuse, because that that doesn't pre-assume or presuppose that they're married or that they're, you know, even in a heterosexual relationship. That kind of covers all the grounds. And we are in 2021 at this point, and when there's a lot of ground to cover.
Oh, absolutely. And also, I specifically wanted to use the term complexities to let people know this is not simple. This is not something where someone simply walks out the door and everything ends, that there are so many multiple layers and issues that we need to be aware that when we make judgment calls, that sometimes we're prejudging people without knowing.
Yeah, and there's so many times where we as a society or we as individuals have a knee-jerk reaction to something, and we'll just sum it up because it's, I guess it's just easier to do that. And maybe we're learning now, with your help, quite frankly, to take a breath, take a step, and see exactly what is there. Is this something? First of all, is it correct with me assuming that we're becoming? I think with, you know, you mentioned the word complexities, that we're becoming more sophisticated when it comes to a very serious issue of domestic and intimate partner abuse. And secondly, that we do need to take a breath before we judge everything with the same thought.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I tell my students is put your judgments at the door. We don't know everybody's story, and we don't know all of the issues of someone's story. So it's not for us to judge. It's for us to find a way of giving help, provide services, whatever it may be, even if it's simply the neighbor who calls 911, that we need to not only become more aware, but in this day and age of fast-moving news media, the internet, things like Facebook, and there's now private groups on Facebook of domestic violence victims and survivors who are connecting with each other. So in that sense, I think we're becoming more aware, but there's still an underlying unconscious feeling for most of the general public that this is a private matter.
I know you speak to, you know, primarily, I would assume, millennials or even the generation next from the millennials. And my presupposing is the fact that they are a little more in tune to what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what is sensitivity or where there should be sensitivity and where there, you know, certainly calls for a very, you know, I mean, what they used to say, politically correct approach to all of this. Are you coming across any students that are completely ignorant on this issue and that are completely clueless? And do you ever feel like you're running across somebody that could easily be from the 1950s?
It actually runs the gamut for those who are somewhat sort of uninformed, not really sure what is abuse, to even millennials who in my classroom openly admit that they're either currently victims or that they have been victims But then also because we do a lot of virtual learning at the University of Southern California, I also have students who are in their late 30s to maybe early 50s or making career changes. And so even from them, there's sometimes more awareness because of the internet, and sometimes there's still that underlying basis of victim blaming that all she has to do is walk away and it'll be fine.
Yeah. See, that's problematic. I would think, like, in the 70s when, you know, even TV shows like, for example, All in the Family, you know, was a, you know, a popular groundbreaking show. They touched on this, even on, like, on a sexual assault. They touched on the fact, and again, I'm saying they, you know, this is 50 years ago now, right? They touched on the fact that that people would sometimes blame the victim. And you would think at that point, and they were great about it. I mean, you know, ahead of their time, and I know a million shows probably copied that, and we're talking about sitcoms, and we're talking about movies and everything else. And you would think at this point we're beyond blaming the victims, but there are still, right, those knee-jerk reactions that you just said. Why doesn't she just walk out? Why doesn't she? Yeah, no, it's not always so simple. Let me remind folks that are just tuning in a little late or turning on their radios late or computers in the middle of what we're talking about. We are speaking to Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, and she is an educator, and she mentioned USC, University of Southern California, and you would think, you know, a top-notch awareness from students that would go to such an institution. The name of the book that we're talking about and concentrating on is Interpersonal Aggression, The Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partner Abuse. Dr. Carol Ann Peterson here with me, Frank McKay. But again, if we could expand on that a little bit, how do we get by that, right? Because that almost seems, I don't want to say, like, innocent ignorance. It shouldn't be at this point. We should be beyond that point. But why doesn't she just leave? I've heard women actually say that about other women. And it's not just men being insensitive. Why doesn't she just leave? But how do we get to the next step with that? How do we make that an impossible thought to say with a straight face?
Well, it's a couple of things. We need to let people know that leaving is not only dangerous, but even when somebody leaves, stalking becomes very prevalent. Over 85% of domestic violence cases involve some sort of stalking. But it's not even just that. It's the fact that for a lot of the public, including men, including those who are LGBTQ, of the presumption of it would never be me. And as long as you hold that thought that you would never be in an abusive relationship, then you think that somebody had bad judgment. They made a bad call. They chose the wrong partner. But it is so easy to be a victim. One of the videos that I use in my classroom is called Sin by Silence. And these are victims who have killed their abusers. And the psychologist who put together this video along with one of the inmates literally said, I presumed it could never be me until I met these women, and realized that abusers are charming. To the rest of the world, they're great parents. They may coach soccer. They may coach Little League. They may host, you know, the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. And they're a pillar of the community, no matter the job that they hold. But at home, these are not people you want to live with. These are people who have the tendency of doing power and control. It's why I specifically use the term abuse to indicate that everything that happens is not physical. That there's financial, there is the imbalance of power in a relationship, one person who makes all the decisions. So it is so complicated that when you make the assumption it won't be me, you're liable to possibly be the next victim.
Again, you're hearing the voice of Dr. Carol Ann Peterson. Frank McKay here with Dr. Peterson. Let me be very careful how I ask this, but I think it's an important question. And again, I say let me be careful because I certainly don't want to stereotype. But other countries, and you know, countries such as Asian countries, and in some Central American and South American countries, and they are often a lot behind on us, on the United States, of where the treatment, Muslim countries, you know, I mean, you have women in burqas, and one of the issues that, I heard a woman who does quite a bit of work over in Dubai and everyone, that she would love to get rid of the tradition of wearing a burqa, because sometimes they're used to hide bruises, and they're used to cover up terrible practices that go on. So I'll be careful in saying this, but is the influx of people from other countries, is it something that we should assume that they might not have the same sensitivity to, and I'm putting it mildly, that we would have? Is this a real concern?
It is a concern, but it's not necessarily the sensitivity. It's actually the awareness, especially for the victims who come from countries where there's no laws, where whatever happens is considered okay. So they get to the United States and don't realize that there are rights, that what is happening is against the law in the United States. It's not uncommon to hear abusers say, but in my country, and as I've trained law enforcement and as I've trained my students and others, is don't ever take on the country. Take on the fact that in this country it is against the law, because it's not a winnable argument to say, yes, but your country is wrong. You just remind them that might be okay in your country. It's not okay in this country. It is against the law. In this country, you are going to get arrested. But until we have, unfortunately, some sort of encounter, the victim may not know that they have any rights.
I mean, there are places in this world where women, are treated worse on civil rights and everything than we treated our women, you know, in the 20s and before that. It's terrible. I mean, there are places where it is, you know, I think of some place like the Philippines, for example. I did a series of shows with people out of freeing women that are free, that are from the Philippines, and they're basically sold into servitude as sex slaves. And I just can't imagine explaining to somebody coming over from there. And again, I think you addressed it very well, but coming over from there, that hey, you do not own, and again, we're saying women, once again, men and women, but you do not own your wife, you do not own your domestic partner. You know, this is an individual, but it's not only what us teaching our children to be different, it's us getting an influx of new people and completely teaching them what's here. Again, how long do you think this will be an issue, and how far behind are other countries than we are with this issue?
Well, there are a lot of countries that are behind us because they don't have the laws in place. I recently had an article published in the Certified Family Law Journal regarding the fact that we in the United States just took on the issue of the term coercive control to cover all those aspects that aren't there of not being physically abusive. And we're kind of behind the times because it was actually started in England and Ireland about 5-6 years ago. So they were ahead of us. So some countries are out there with us, but then you have a lot of countries where there are no laws. There's no enforcement, even if the law they have. China created a law, if I recall, about 4 or 5 years ago, but the law has no enforcement to it. So it's nice if you have a law in the books, but if there's no enforcement, then it really serves no purpose. So some countries are creating laws so it looks good, but they've got to put the enforcement behind it and put the protection for the victims. Many countries that might even have the laws don't have shelters. So I have a law, even if I enforce it, I have no safe space to put you.
I mentioned the issue of burkas, and you know, immediately when you bring up an issue like that, people immediately say, whoa, 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 this is our tradition for thousands of years. We've done this and, you know, and so forth. I mean, we've had a lot of traditions that we've grown out of. And it's one thing for a community or a group of folks, a society to want to keep their conditions. But is there a belief, a general idea that women being forced to wear burkas, regardless of, first of all, terrible in the heat and so forth, but is it often used as a cover-up for abuse?
It can be, and, you use the term that I would use when they're forced to have to wear burkas or any other garments that can cover up, then I become concerned. But if they're truly, a partner in a relationship and it's their choice, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Simply for the fact it's their choice. But when they're forced to, they don't get any options, then it becomes a whole different concern that we need to look at and be aware of.
Well, that's also a big issue as well. I mean, who is being forced, and how do you know that someone's being forced? And we as a society can't start busting into people's lives and saying it. But this is something. What happens behind closed doors is something that we don't have much control of, and we really don't have knowledge of. What would be an indication that somebody's being forced to wear it as opposed to wearing it because they're an equal partner and they just decided to keep their tradition going?
Well, a lot of it is, we don't want to make assumptions, obviously, but
of course,
at the same time, awareness of neighbors who might indicate that they've seen the yelling and the screaming, the belittling, even the physical violence. And also it's a question of how much does their religion intercede. We have some very progressive imams and gurus out of those various faiths and religions, and yet we also still have those who are very conservative who hold to the way things used to be and the way they want to keep them. So that also comes into play. So between culture, religion, and dress, we have to kind of start to balance out what do we know, what don't we know, who has seen what, who has reported what. Most of the time, what you'll get is reports from law enforcement. I've been to this house 7 times and she's not leaving, but I don't know if she's got bruises because of the dress that she's wearing. So it becomes a puzzle that we have to put together without jumping to conclusions. And that's what makes it very difficult to, provide services for someone when we're having to put the puzzle together.
Once again, you're listening to Dr. Carol Ann Peterson. The name of the book is Interpersonal Aggression, The Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partner Abuse. Frank McKay here with Dr. Peterson. I would think, and again, I haven't studied the issue anywhere close to what you've studied, but just as a bit of a student of history, that when the woman suffrage movement succeeded and women were granted the right to vote, that was powering, not to the point where it completely turned everything around, but it was a good indicator that things were about to change. As a general, and again, we need a whole show, a whole segment for this, but as a rule, is it a harbinger when women are given the right to vote in the country that things are about to get better? And if that's too much of an overstatement, tell me what would be an indication that things are looking up?
Well, I think things are always looking up when we can make steps forward and we make changes. Women getting the right to vote was a step forward. It, you know, freed up the ability for women to have a voice, not only in policy making, but in their local communities and to look at issues. When people like Jane Addams look at tenement houses and begin a movement of social work, it makes changes for everybody. And sometimes that gets lost. When you make changes for a group of people, you make changes generally for the better of everyone, even if everybody doesn't admit it. So when women get the right to vote, it's a step forward. But as I tell my students, I also teach a policy class that, unfortunately, change is incremental. Don't expect to get the whole loaf of bread when you ask for it. Understand you're probably getting a couple of slices, but that's more than we had before. And you keep moving forward, and you keep making the changes. Another phrase I often tell my students is, rock the boat. However, don't tip it over. It goes back to the old adage of pick your battles. So many times in looking at how we make changes, we have to realize that two steps forward may be all we get for the time being, but that's two steps more than we had before. The Me Too movement gave us, you know, probably five steps ahead. But with anything, things kind of level out and stop for a little bit. It doesn't mean you give up. You just know that you're at a plateau and you need to now push that envelope a little bit more to get to the next level.
Well, I'm sure everyone will join in me thanking you for the work that you're doing on behalf of people in society out there. And Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, thank you very much. Can you give us a website, a social media site once again, that or something, some place to follow along with what you're doing?
Yes, carolannpeterson.com. As I said, on the website, they can click on to buy the book. They can look at the blog, look at also other services that I provide. So if somebody needs additional either training that they need or a consultation, it's all there.
Well, Dr. Peterson, thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you.
Interpersonal aggression, the complexities of domestic and intimate partner abuse is the name of the book. It's a must get. And please go to her website and buy this book. Buy two. And all of us out there as society members should be thrilled with what Dr. Carol Ann Peterson is doing and others like her. And certainly the fathers and mothers of daughters should be absolutely thrilled. Hopefully we're turning a corner and getting a handle on some of the things that have just been been so egregious over the years. Dr. Peterson's correct. The Me Too movement has moved the needle quite a bit. And unfortunately for the sufferers that came out to speak, they had to endure those situations. But fortunately for us, they had the courage to come out and speak out, and wonderful things there. Dr. Carol Ann Peterson has been our very special guest. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.